One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
This is 4 Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Garniston, he is the Pyramid.
Margaret, the Fiend coming out. You stick that big red light bulb on for the Fiend.
And his partner, Feta Tapendo Stevenson.
Honky Tonk Man's going to take the bump for this. He's going to bump for it. I'm going to take the bump for you.
Welcome to Wrestling Daft. It's the last week without Rab and Grado. Their suspension due to a violation of Wrestling Daft's wellness policy ends next week. And trust me, to get in the wellness policy or break the wellness policy of Wrestling Daft, you need to do some nasty, nasty shit. So they'll be back next week. So let's start that Jericho countdown clock. That means you're stuck with me, producer John, for the last week. And I welcome once again my tag partner who's been holding my hand for the last couple of weeks, fellow wrestling Mark. He's bigger than the X-Elf's ratings at the weekend. It's Big Alex.
How are we, John? It's nice to be compared to something positive this week rather than Tessa Blanchard's and Big Show's diaper in the previous
week. Don't
worry,
we're going to that. We're gonna get to the negative very, very soon. good week of watching wrestling, Alex.
Oh, it's not been too bad. It's been quite uneventful. I think we've all got a little bit too used to a pay-per-view being every Sunday now, really, haven't we?
Like, I know.
There's either something on TV or there's something local. So it's been a quiet wrestling week, I'd say.
Highlights of the wrestling week. Well, I guess we'll get into
that.
We'll get into that when we do Buddies Are Put Overs a bit later on. So on the show this week, we have one-time ICW Zero G champion, three-time tag team champion, the one, the only, Davey Blaze stroke Davey Boy. What we're going to do is get Davey in. We're going to look at into sort of tag team wrestling. I quite like the idea of looking into tag team wrestling, the psychology behind it, how a tag team works, how they come together.
We should also figure out which name he wants to use.
Yeah, we should work out that before he gets. He's a big laddie now, Davey. Jesus. Have you seen his Twitter?
Someone say he's related to Arnold Schwarzenegger in some way, so you don't fuck with that man.
He is in that gym all the time if you check it out. So we'll do your buddy or put overs later on. On the list of Wrestling Daft, it's Valentine's Day, love is in the air. So we thought we'd look at the best love angles in wrestling.
It's funny when you search Love Angle on Google that it just comes up with really, really weird results of what Kurt Angle's been doing with this weekend, you know?
And we'll also get into the news, everything that's been happening in wrestling, that with Sports Kita journalist, the one and only Gary Castillo will be with us. But as usual, let's kick off with your correspondence from last week. And first, let's start off with a mean tweet, will we? Thanks to Jason Fullerton. Thank you, Jason, who says, hope Rab and Grado return soon. These two posh boys hosting just now are honking.
Well, I mean, the one thing I take issue with that is being called posh. Is, you know what I mean? I'm like a fucking Tuchter from Aberdeenshire, you can. So,
well,
weird.
I have to say, Alex, I've actually given up my croquet lesson tonight to come and do this podcast. So.
Oh, I forget you do croquet on a Thursday, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
As long as you get to do the polo on the weekend, John, everything will be okay.
No, listen, I'm glad. So, yeah, Jason, you're quite right. We're too posh for this podcast. So pass the Prosecco over, will you, darling?
Oh, champagne, darling. We don't drink
sorry,
champagne.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thanks to Brian, who is asked to check on Rab. We actually should really check on Rab because he's not been seen since the WWE stop tanked.
And he does have two lovely new children
new
to look after as
yeah,
well.
So his wains need shoes, so we better check on Rab. He will be back next week with Grado, I do promise you that. Now, did you see this spot from an American wrestling show, which has been doing the rounds on Twitter? We shared it on the Wrestling Daft Twitter. Basically, this nutter is in a shopping centre and jumps from two stories up and does a crossbody into the ring and the guys below.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't understand the ins and outs of taking, especially like a crossbody from a top from the top rope. And do you know what I mean? How that all works? I've got a rough idea. But surely, if you're doing it from 10 foot up in the air.
But the problem is he didn't go for the pin. I was a skillboy error in my opinion. If you see, he actually did the crossbody and then didn't go for the pin.
Yeah, like,
come
a,
on.
Like it's like a 10 times crossbody, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
You're never going to do a better crossbody than that.
Exactly. It was actually Pablo's Photo Horror that sent in that clip to us. Thanks very much, Pablo. He's always a great correspondent on the show. A lot of responses after we put that up. Kyle Customs 2018, who you need to check out on Twitter. He makes the most sensational wrestling figures. Like, he's just done one of Bret Hart and one of Razor Ramon. Really, really good. So Kyle Customs 2018, check him out on Twitter. He can imagine some junkie doing that off the top tier at the St. Enoch Centre into the security guards. We maybe shouldn't have shared that in a Scottish-based wrestling podcast.
Probably
because
not.
Someone is going to take inspiration from that and do it from the top of St. Enoch Centre.
Well, I mean, I've seen a couple of the ICW boys do it from a balcony in the garage.
I've
also seen one of my friends, I'm pretty sure, throw a shoe at one of the guys.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure he got escorted out quickly after that. So, don't throw things at wrestlers, especially not from a balcony.
And don't jump off of balconies at shopping centres. Scott Kirkwood is doing his bit for local shopping in Scotland. He says, if this happened at the Falkirk Howgate Centre, the high street would be much busier. So thanks for that, Scott. Doing your bit for local shops.
Bring the high street back, John.
Yeah,
bring it back.
Bring the high street back. Shout out to Martin McDade, who pointed out the commentators did actually mention the 24/7 title when Drew faced Mojo on Raw last week. I buried that last week because I thought Drew should have won the 24/7 title, but apparently it was mentioned. So my bad. Sorry, Martin, you're quite right. Last week, we got into the random thing of looking for the biggest heels in kids and TV shows. Greg Clark got in touch to say, surely it was Zelda from the Terrahawks.
I think
beyond before your time.
Zelda to me is a positive word, not a negative word.
That's because you're a big gaming geek as well.
And Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Can't forget Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Who was the heel in Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Oh, no, there was just a character called Zelda.
Okay. Ricky Boy on Twitter says Mumra from the Thundercats.
Yep, that I do.
That is proper heel. Lee is playing catch up on wrestling, and he says one of the biggest heels on kids' TV was definitely Diesel from Thomas the Tank Engine, right? Then he's just actually said, what a cunt. It's a bit harsh on Diesel, I feel. That is the Diesel of Thomas the Tank Engine and not the wrestler.
But I mean, he was also slowly polluting the environment with this horrible, horrible diesel. So if anything, he definitely deserves to be slated in 2020.
True,
you know what I mean? We should have Green, the face.
He did the job on Percy, you know. How could he be forgiven for that, you know? That Gordon and Diesel tag team against Percy and Toby. Who would forget those dreadful moments in Thomas the Tank Engine? Scott has agreed with you, however, Alex, and he has simply put a gif of the Demon Headmaster.
Exactly. We all thought our headmaster was the Demon Headmaster, and we're all horrendously disappointed to find out they were just another person.
So yeah, if you want to keep them coming, kids, TV, film, heels, please do that as well. We'll give you all the details really soon. Love the fact Alistair Dunlop, an early contender for Listener of the Week, because it makes me happy, Alistair, because this is the third time he's been in touch. I suggested a couple of weeks back, what if wrestlers met bands or artists, right? And I asked for a couple of things on Twitter. Alistair has just come back again. He had a couple of belters last week and he's outdone himself this week. So we've got the Dropkick Buddy Murphys.
Right. First of all,
yeah,
remember all the ones of mine you cut from a couple of weeks ago?
One of
mine's was Dropkick Murphy. So, right. I mean, I'm putting that out there. That
I'm just going
to... That's not original material.
Yeah, but I'm just going to actually slight that one because actually, obviously... Buddy Murphy's just dropped the buddy now, so he'll have just caught the Dropkick exactly. Murphys now, right? Ram Steiner Brothers. That is good. ACDCT.
Okay, Come on now. It's only going to get over in one podcast, and this is the right podcast for that to get over.
He ticks every box because we've got the Funaki mention of the week with the Fun-Aki Loving Criminals.
I think we just need to give him an award for that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, we don't have a mod doing a wrestling catchphrase this week. However, we have a girlfriend doing wrestling catchphrases this week.
But is it still his girlfriend after he's made him do a wrestling catchphrase? That's the real question.
It is a very good question. So thanks to Ross for sending us in this.
Everybody's got a price.
So that was his girlfriend, Claire. doing the $1 million man.
I don't think Ted DiBiase is going to be overly stoked about that, to be honest. I think he might take a little bit of issue and complain that that laugh is nowhere near maniacal enough.
She does need to work on the laugh. So listen, if you want to send us heels from TV, kids' TV shows, if you want to send us any member of your family doing a wrestling catchphrase, listen, let's not just exclude Moz and girlfriends. Get your granny to do one.
It's true. Does it have to be a female, though? Because surely you can get your granddad,
get your grandpa,
reverse it and get your
dad,
a female wrestler's catchphrase.
Yeah, just get someone that doesn't know wrestling to do a wrestling catchphrase because it entertains us. Do that. You can do it all at Wrestling Daft on Twitter. On Insta, we are at Wrestling Daft Podcast. Just Wrestling Daft on Facebook. And you can email anything you want through to wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. So let's get up to date now with what's been going on in the world of wrestling with a man whose older brother wrestles under the ring name Orange in AEW. Did you know that, Alex?
I hear Gary's also quite partial to keeping his hands in his pockets at awkward times as well.
Yeah. It's Gary Cassidy from Sports Kida. How you doing, Gary?
I know, too bad. I've not got my sunglasses on today, so it's obviously not that bright. So I'm nothing like Orange today, but I'm doing good. How about yours?
Aye, not bad. Now, listen, I'm going to drop names for you, Gary, because Gary comes on this show. He's like, yeah, I was talking to Triple H, I was talking to Dr. Tom Pritchard.
He was actually talking to them. You've just been reading about stuff online.
I know,
it's a little bit different.
Listen, this was pretty cool this week. You were interviewing Bone for Soup about their new song, Alexa Bliss.
Aye, weird one. Obviously, last week, they just bang out an AOL, released a song called Alexa Bliss, where Alexa Bliss, in the video, I seen it straight away because I'm won't be ashamed about it. I can't be ashamed about being a wrestling fan, so I'm not going to be ashamed about liking pop punk music. So obviously seen it when they posted about it.
Cracking. Did you get any scoops out of them, Gary?
It kind of got off to an awkward start. I asked my first question. It was on the tour bus. The driver started punching the door because he was sleeping behind the door. But once we got gone, it was all right. They pretty much just told me how the song came about and stuff, and I didn't even need to ask. They'd done the nice Vince McMahon name drop, which, as a journalist, that's always what you want. Because any article you mention, Vince does well. And it was pretty much just him saying that he'd kind of received the song well. He was very supportive of it. And I'd asked them if they'd be up for playing WrestleMania to kind of try and feel that a wee bit. And they said, aye, definitely, as I think most bands would say. So I guess we'll see what happens, if anything happens with that.
Yeah, I think it's a possibility. They always like to have a band at WrestleMania and them come and Alexa Bliss coming out to our song
true.
Named after her. It's got
but
to
when
to
was the last time Bowling for Soup released any music? Is more my secondary question on that front, to be honest.
Have they released anything since the all the girls,
I believe
all the
it was
bad
1985
guys won?
1985, was the last time they released
something. Anyway, let's Bowling for Soup chat. Let's get on to the wrestling chat. So, kicking off, the location for WrestleMania 37 has been revealed.
Aye, slightly bigger news than Bowling for Soup. This is one that, again, I never know how much people in Scotland care about this, but I guess a lot of people do travel to it. So way back in April last year, Arish Merkazi for the LA Times had said the front runner was the SoFi it's called, SoFi Stadium in Hollywood. It's not actually in Hollywood. It's in a wee place called Inglewood, just a wee bit outside it. So it's the same kind of deal as. Looks like they've done the thing where they've dropped a number this. I don't know if they just don't like the number 37. I know Vince always said when it got to a certain number, he was a wee bit less of a fan of having the number in there. But just calling it WrestleMania Hollywood, pretty classy looking sign. They done a press conference all day. The stadium isn't quite built, so they had a load of journalists in there wearing a high-vis. They had hard hats with the branding on the side.
Well, they've got
in the middle, just a
fine
place that was essentially like a half-built stadium. But apparently it's going to be built for the start of the NFL season coming up here in July, I think it is. And then WrestleMania happens next year on March 28th, so a wee bit earlier than it usually is. And that's 10 months out for the Super Bowl. So it's essentially a trial run for the Super Bowl. You see how that goes. The one thing that was a nice wee kind of side note takeaway for the kind of press conference they had there, apart from the stuff that I'll mention in a second. So Becky Lynch on Raw got bitten by Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, we knew all about that.
This was the very next day, and she was all glammed up, obviously, dressed and everything, but had a massive bandage on the back of her neck to still sell
the injury. Selling it, I like it.
I was like, right, that's no matter what you think of the angle, that's pretty cool. I was like, I'll do that. But the main thing that's swirling about is obviously whatever happens with any WrestleMania. It gets the silly season with rumours. But these ones all came for actual wrestlers, so they're worth noting. The main thing, obviously, people seen Hollywood. A lot of speculation that The Rock was going to come back. Stephanie McMahon said she hopes he does. She said that she pretty much hopes he'll be at WrestleMania, but didn't really acknowledge anything about whether there'll be a match or no. Roman Reigns went one better. He said that he wants to take on The Rock. He's like, everybody's always putting him in dream matches. This time he wants to call the dream match. He said, they're family. If there's ever going to be an event for him to compete in, then this is it, purely because of the location and essentially the stadium. It's a 70,000-seater stadium, but it can be expanded to 100,000. So you've got to think that might entice The Rock to come back for a one-off appearance. It's not just The Rock that's been rumoured. One of the big ones, Seth Rollins, has been calling out Hulk Hogan online.
Saying
he wants Hollywood Hogan in a match.
No one wants to see that.
No one wants to see it, but Terry's got to fund that retirement somehow, you know. So.
Nobody wants to see that.
And the one other one is The Miz. Obviously, a lot of people are at the wind-up on social media now, so there's a good chance this is just The Miz at the wind-up. But he posted saying that he's going to quit if he doesn't main event it. So maybe we'll stick a wee tenner on him the Rumble next year, I don't know.
No.
Well, we'll see what happens on
chances of Miz headlining WrestleMania.
We'll see what fuck all storylines he's doing come next year.
Pretty much. Talk about pay-per-views, Elimination Chamber's coming up soon, and I believe there's been some matches leaked for that.
Aye, so obviously that's a wee bit more short-term. It's literally about a month away. A local advertisement. I don't like saying ruined it or kind of spoiled it, because these things are always subject to change, and there's actually a wee rumour going about today that a couple of the names could be replaced for this match. But as it stands, the Elimination Chamber main event is said to be, obviously, an Elimination Chamber match, with the winner facing the one champion that isn't got a match yet in terms of the main male titles. Whoever it's going to be, at Bray Wyatt and Goldberg, the match is going to be for the number one contendership for that title. It's going to be Roman Reigns, King Corbin, Robert Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura, Braun Strowman and Daniel Bryan. Like I said, a few of the names rumoured to be taken out of that. So I'll let you make up your mind what one you think, what one you think might come out of that.
I mean, you should have just stopped at Roman Reigns, because there's only one person winning that match, isn't there? Jesus, man.
You never know, like Corbin could win the match and then like Reigns will win it off him on SmackDown, or they'll try and do some kind of swerve to continue that feud.
And I believe the tag team SmackDown Tag Team Championships are going to be up, because there was another leak as well.
Aye. So, again, the way they've kind of been playing this, they kind of veered away from it on SmackDown, though, a wee bit. But it's looking like it's going to be The Miz and John Morrison against The New Day for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships.
I think that was an obvious
one. Yeah, because they're doing that in Saudi Arabia, and then this will just be the return match. So it'll either be a rematch or if...
I actually have a wee feeling that the Usos might get added to the second of the matches. But that's just a wee prediction. That's the info on that, but that's just the way that... The SmackDown match went.
So WWE signs, we're talking about that last week, some really strong signs from them, and it looks like AEW are getting in the act now as well.
This one came right out the blue.
I was really not expecting
this at all. It's absolutely incredible, because I love the person that they've signed. It's a guy called Jeff Cobb. That, weirdly, before I got into his professional wrestling, he's an Olympian, and he wrestles amateur wrestling for Guam in the Olympics, which is
Guam.
It'd be amazing to be the first Guadis fucking Olympic gold medalist.
That sounds like sounds like a wrestler, not a country. Guam.
Well, anybody going to a pub quiz about wrestling over the next few years, that's a nice wee note to just keep in there, in case he ends up AEW champion. Apart from that, so he's mainly known as Jeff Cobb. He's mainly known for his work in Japan. But he's actually been working with Ring of Honor quite a bit recently.
Yeah.
Interesting fact about that. Obviously, there's been a lot of stuff with Ring of Honor contracts the past kind of few months. But he's still got Ring of Honor dates coming up. A lot of people are saying, "Oh, does that mean that AEW have got a partnership with New Japan or with Ring of Honor?" That is a probable no. Obviously, the New Japan stuff, they have been kind of, they've got a loose partnership where they let talent work in New Japan, but most of the signs are pointing to there's no partnership between Ring of Honor and All Elite Wrestling. It's essentially just, he's not been working with a contract, so he was free to sign anywhere else, and he's just so happened to land in AEW. A guy that actually had a WWE tryout several years ago, and then he ended up in Lucha Underground wrestling as the Monster Matanza. If I had to compare him to anybody, for anybody that hasn't seen him, he's kind of similar to Taz. He's a wee bit like Taz, Samoa Joe, but he's went straight into the main event picture, joined Inner Circle, and he's going to be wrestling John Moxley next week. So obviously big things expected of him, and he's making a pretty big impact.
I think
there's one other wee note. So it was rumoured last year that or Cody Rhodes had, I say it was rumoured, obviously it came from Cody Rhodes, so it's a pretty strong rumour about AEW having a potential date in the UK in 2020. So Alex McCarthy for TalkSport, a guy that I'm always saying is one of the most legitimate journalists in the world now, he done a wee interview with Dustin Rhodes, and he asked, you know, have you heard anything, essentially. Dustin Rhodes said there's pretty much definitely going to be a mini tour of AEW in the UK. He wouldn't give away any dates, but what he said is it's mostly going to look like it's live shows, but depending on how long it is, they might tape a Dynamite over here. Obviously, it'll probably be taped and then put out later that night or the next day or whatever. But the one place he named was London. Obviously, hopefully they come to Scotland, but that's something to look out for. I'm guessing an announcement probably won't be too far away for that if you look at kind of the time they'd probably be looking to come over here.
And looking finally at, there's been a leak of from WrestleVote on 3 more stars for the Hall of Fame this year.
Aye. So WrestleVotes have got a really good record overall there. Again, a source that I'd say is one of the credible sources. What they do is pretty smart, where they normally kind of leak things a wee bit by bit, and this is what they've done this week, where they said we've got 3 names, 2 of them are a really well-known tag team and one of them is an internationally renowned superstar. Obviously a lot of people kind of guess the first one, which is Jushin Thunder Liger, which I can chuck a nice wee name drop in here since I've not done it yet. I've got a video that's just dropped with BBC The Social where I talked to William Regal. One of the scenes that I cut for that, just because I was way too much because they went on and on, was that William Regal shared a hotel in Shetland with Jushin Thunder Liger 25 years ago.
Hold on, hold on. Rewind. Jushin Thunder Liger was in Shetland.
Was he wrestling in Shetland?
It was one of the wee bits of gold that I was like, man, I wish I could put this in the video, but it didn't really fit in with anything else. But aye, so William Regal shared a hotel with Jushin Thunder Liger in Shetland. Future WWE Hall of Famer Jushin Thunder Liger, I should add. So he was the one that everybody guessed.
Right.
And again, he's not worked much in WWE. Obviously, I've done a lot with WCW. I had that match in at NXT TakeOver a few years ago
with Breeze.
Was it Tyler Breeze?
Yeah, it was Breeze.
I think it was Tyler Breeze, aye. And obviously, he's done a lot of work outside of WWE and WCW and pretty much everywhere else. So maybe they'd really, obviously, WWE try and do this thing where they induct people that aren't just WWE superstars. So
I think that's a really good thing. You know, that's
very
one thing
well
you've actually got to put your hats off to the WWE for doing that, like taking people out with the company that haven't had, you know, an association with WWE.
I think as well they kind of have to take into account the WCW runs because they now own the company and they now own the rights. It is the combined Hall of Fame, realistically.
And the other potential rumour, a little bit more controversial, isn't it?
Aye, so what we're all saying there about obviously Vince McMahon's trying to make the WWE Hall of Fame more of like a professional wrestling Hall of Fame, essentially. So this is probably right on the other side of that. And again, I've got absolutely no problems with this tag team, this well-renowned tag team, as WrestleVotes put it, being in the Hall of Fame.
I think that's the one thing I have a problem with, calling them a well-renowned fucking tag team, really, isn't it?
So the other name, and bear in mind that they are going to be joining Jushin Thunder Liger, they're going to be joining the NWO with Sean Waltman, they're going to be joining Batista. It's the Bella Twins.
Yeah, obviously.
Which, I said, I'm completely fine with, because if you take into account as the WWE Hall of Fame, I think they've had a run that wore.
You can't even stop laughing at this, Gary.
To be fair,
by it.
Total Bella.
They've had a run that warrants it, because
they've had a TV show. They've had a fucking spin-off. You know, they've got Total Bellas, so surely that counts for something.
Yeah, I got a lot of stick for saying it. They transcend wrestling.
No offence to the Bella Twins. I mean, I'm sure the time would have come, right? And I'm sure, you know, it'll be a lovely sort of image of, you know, the two of them are pregnant. It'll be a really nice image. And I wonder if John Cena will put them in. that would be awkward. But when you look at, and now I have no problems with the Bella Twins going in, because like you say, they transcend that whole entertainment thing. You know, they've obviously very successful with the Total Bella stuff. I think Nikki's on Dancing from the Stars in the States.
She did main event the only WWE women's pay-per-view of all time
True. This is very true. The issue I have, I think, is when you look at the tag teams that haven't been put into the Hall of Fame yet. So I'm thinking Demolition aren't in there yet.
But was that not like a lot of issues with Vince and Action
Smash? But this is it. But you've got to look beyond that and go, right, the British Bulldogs aren't in there.
Well, how many years did it take San Martino to get in there? Was it not like 25, 30 years before San Martino got inducted?
no issues with them going in, but I think there's people that should have probably come before them.
Agreed.
So,
a lot of people were saying, oh, Mickey James should be in before them, which, again, I wouldn't disagree with that. Like, I think Mickey James is probably a first ballot Hall of
Famer. Is she not women. Still active? She's commentating on
She's out injured, so she's not actually officially retired. Yeah. They tried her behind the announce desk and stuff, but she is still an active wrestler. But it's one of the ones with the Bella Twins. I'm not going to say they should be the first names that you put in, but like in terms of storyline, the things I get stick for saying was they transcend wrestling, which they do a lot of water ceremonies. They get the mainstream audience. The other thing that I said that a lot of people took issue away was the 300-day reign. People said, obviously, that was to break AJ Lee's and get her name out of the history books. I wouldn't agree or disagree with that. I'll keep that controversy aside. But storyline-wise, that is a reason to go in. Another one would be mainly just the fact that, I mean, well, if you, like Women's Revolution, I know, I'm not saying that they were the pioneers of the Women's Revolution. A lot of people are taking it as me saying that. But they were one of the main kind of starting points for it on the main roster because they were the heels that were outnumbering Paige, Naomi and Tamina. Mm-hmm. And then that's when Stephanie McMahon went, wait a minute, and brought in everybody for NXT and kind of kick-started the give Divas a chance thing that went on to the Women's Revolution.
Oh, God, yeah. Especially, I think Nikki's quite a good worker, to be honest with you. Nikki's actually a really good
worker.
Nikki
put a lot of time and effort in during that reign, and you saw how much better she got in the ring. So
she was working with Cena. How did that end up?
Just wrestling around that bedroom, yeah.
Gary, thank you very much as ever for joining us. And where can we get you on Twitter to keep up to date with all your name drops?
No worries, cheers for having me on. It's Conscious Gary. So like I said last week, hopefully if you type in Gary Cassidy, it will come up. But it's ConsciousGary. And on there, like I said earlier, I've got a BBC The Social video that's literally just dropped. For anybody that's a fan of Scottish wrestling, which I'd hope is most of the listeners, I've got essentially a video of William Regal talking about that moment in Shetland, although he doesn't mention that. He mentions a lot of his other times in places like Bucky and Wick, and then goes for that to today where he is scouting wrestlers across Scotland, like the Coffees and Nicky Cross to be in WWE. Right. So that's the main thing that I've put out there that hopefully people can go and find and enjoy.
Look forward to watching that, Gary. Thanks very much as ever, pal.
Thanks, Gary.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Every week we like to separate the Chris Masters of this world from the Chris Jerichos as we talk about the good and bad of pro wrestling in Bury or Put Over. Now, let's start off with the positives.
That's Alex, a bit of a change. Alex, we always started with the negatives on this podcast.
Let's start off with the positives. Alex, what would you like to put over this
right,
week?
Right, so I'm gonna chase Rab's sweetheart since he's back next week, and I'm going to put over.
It's going to be some Japan, isn't it?
No, this is AEW. I'm going to put over Dustin Rhodes for someone finally fucking calling out Jake Hager and the potential that we might actually get a Jake Hager match for the first time in this is 6 month run in AEW.
Yeah, I don't get the whole Jake Hager thing because he's just. He's
it's
one
not
of the
as
biggest.
He's not been wrestling. No, like he was wrestling in Lucha Underground and stuff. Like he was. I don't know if you can say is or was the last Lucha Underground champ, because I don't know the situation with that.
Yeah.
But he's holding the belt.
But he's not. They've just had him as muscle. There was that brilliant thing that he did with Jericho in the ring where he was cutting the promo and Jericho just got him to say sorry. Mm. And that's about the only thing we've heard from him on the mic. But I mean, when, you know, Gary spoke about obviously Jeff Cobb drawing. Where AEW have lacked is the big guys. You know, you've got Luchasaurus there, you've got Jake Hager there. Why not use him when he's there? I don't understand.
They were protecting him with his MMA record for a while. Okay. And so they wanted to push the whole.
Because he's still
undefeated.
Being in MMA as well, isn't he?
He's still undefeated, I believe. Yeah. I think he drew his last match it was a draw for some reason. I didn't watch it, so I'm not 100% sure.
So putting over Jake Hager in wrestling and should be wrestling. Is that what we're putting
Well,
over?
No, I'm putting over the fact that it's looking like he might be about to wrestle.
Right, okay.
And there's someone called him out and there's actually a potential match on
that
the horizon.
That would be good. He's a decent worker.
He's pretty good in the ring.
He's pretty good in the ring.
I always thought he was like almost the soft ear to Kurt Angle, and I'm a huge Kurt Angle fan, so to me that works.
So it'd be good to see him back in the ring. I'm going to put over, I think there's kind of, these are combined. So first of all, putting over the Broserweights. From NXT.
Oh, you're I've been putting that over for weeks.
Yeah,
John.
I don't know if you've seen the build up to obviously his takeover Portland this weekend. Have you seen the skits they've been doing about getting the Dusty Rhodes Cup to takeover in Portland?
No, I haven't. Is that all been on YouTube?
Brilliant. It's on YouTube. It's just really great comedy stuff from Riddle and Pete.
Is it following on from the golf court shtick last
week? Yeah. It's really, really, really good. So check that out. But just that whole dynamic. I love the kind of the facials from Pete Dunne, and Matt Riddle is just brilliant. And getting on to Matt Riddle, I really want to put over Matt Riddle, because there was an edict apparently a couple of weeks ago that went out from Vince saying, do not call out the main star rosters. And it's
without
like
permission.
It was like one of those meetings you have at work where he's obviously like kind of looking at Matt Riddle as he's addressed the room, kind of staring. You know, when you go into one of these meetings at office and you know fine well it's all about you. Yeah, that was that kind of meeting.
They're just trying to be nice. Trying to be subtle.
But since then, it was an NXT event at the weekend. Matt Riddle was basically grabbed the mic and someone filmed it saying, I want to retire Brock Lesnar.
Yes. In 12 years. Did he not say something about 12 years? Yeah. I don't know why 12 years is such a specific number to him.
Because WWE are sharing this on their social networks. So that's awesome. So it's obviously, Vince went, you know what? You just keep poking that bear, mate. You just keep poking that, because as I said before, there's money in that match. There is real money in that match, and everyone would love to see
it. It means
Matt
they
Riddle.
Could do a triple threat between Brock, Matt, and Goldberg, and Matt could actually carry the match and it would last more than 5 minutes.
there you go. So yeah, that's what I'm putting over this week. Burying, let's get to the negatives. What are you burying?
Well, you've already kind of semi-buried it for me, as I was going to bury WWE for removing the Buddy from Buddy Murphy, as they've done from so many people over the last couple of years. I mean, the only person who's refound their name seems to be Mustafa Ali. But apart from that...
Oh, has he? He's went back to...
He's now Mustafa Ali.
Right.
But then you look at like Andrade and things like that. And yeah, like it used to be a bit of a staple that they do with a lot of the women's division and stuff. And they just call them like...
Emma
and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just lazy. But the reason I've heard is that because it doesn't sound biblical enough to be in Seth Rollins'
new
faction.
I've heard that as well, So it's like, it sounds like a disciple.
Ikem and Razar do kind of sound like disciples.
Ikem,
Razar and Buddy. Do you know, I see there's a bit of a disparity there.
Ikem, Razar and Murphy. Just like, the thing is though, it's just, you're going to just get confused with Robocop. When everyone starts calling Murphy, it just sounds like Robocop.
It's always when it's like just a first name they're left with. Do you know what I mean? It just seems a bit stupid.
Yeah.
Like he's just Murphy. It's just Murphy, your dog food down the street. Do you know? Like it's just, just to me it sounds like a waste of a company that thrives on creativity.
Right. Well,
wants to.
Yeah, just take their names away from... Yeah, I kind of get that. Yeah, I don't know why they can constantly do it, but I do get the angle on the kind of disciple thing. And to be fair, Buddy's a bit rubbish, isn't
Buddy
it?
Is pretty
it's a bit of a face name, Buddy, isn't it? It's like, hey, good old Buddy from down the way.
You know? To me, it reminds me of a dog for some reason. But have they named Seth Rollins' faction? So yeah, they're coming out. They're complaining about
Monday Night Messiah.
Well, he's the Monday Night Messiah.
Yeah.
So they haven't named that faction yet. So it seems a bit weird.
It's a bit biblical.
I don't know.
WWE won't be into that.
I do hope they keep the biblical theme. It gives it something a bit different.
Yeah,
and just get Seth and his man bun every week. That'll get fucking booze. That's
yeah, exactly. Man buns just should be booed.
Yeah,
general.
Exactly. That's what they're there for.
Yeah.
Are
you're
a heel.
If you wear a man, you're a heel, boy.
It's an easy distinguisher. Like.
Exactly. I'm going to bury, now I'm sure we're getting into this in the correspondence, I'm going to bury the biting angle on Raw. Now, I was a bit indifferent, and this is kind of split. I just don't think it was necessary. You know, Shayna coming in and biting Becky. I kind of get what they're doing with it, but I don't think it was necessary. I think she could have just come in, squashed Becky, done that way, because she's badass. She doesn't need to bite someone. I mean, she could break her arm or, you know, do something like that.
Well, I think they did the Becky injury angle last year and they didn't want to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And they were probably trying to make Shayna look like some kind of MMA badass, but you don't fucking bite people
in MMA. You don't bite in MMA.
And Shayna wears a mouth guard to the ring every
day. That's exactly what I was going to say. She came down wearing a mouth guard.
Like... Is this why she? Is it a mandated thing from the company? Either Shayna, you wear your mouth guard, or you will bite someone. She's essentially the Luis Suarez of wrestling. That's what it is.
And she ended up looking like Gangrel in that shot. Now
it feels like they're ripping off the NXT spot from a couple of weeks ago with Ciampa.
I don't know. I didn't like it. I didn't think they need to do it anyway.
I did like what Gary was saying earlier about how Becky was selling the injury though, and like wore the
neckbands, that's good. But is this leading to a first blood match or something at Mania, or is it?
They haven't done a first blood match since the PG era, have they?
No.
People, someone on Twitter, tell me how wrong I am about that.
Yeah, you probably are. You probably are. Right, let's go into your correspondence from this week on Your Buddies Are Put Overs. KZ, who's always in touch with us, the reaction to the bite on Raw, he is burying that. Let's just see how it plays out story-wise. Could just be a psycho putting her mark on a target rather than, oh my God, it's a vampire. So
Can we do like some kind of chart where we go through the Twitter comments and see how many were positive towards the bite and how many were negative towards the bite?
I mean, obviously,
and see what the reaction's
like. Yeah, Hayes is obviously all for the bite. Putting over Orton killing Matt Hardy.
Yeah. Like this
basically killed him on TV. Bye, Matt.
But everyone's been being like kind of been very negative towards Randall for the last couple of years. And I think, like, I mean, yeah, he shouldn't have won that Rumble and the whole Bray Wyatt thing was stupid. But apart from that, like, when he comes back and he cares, it's great. Like,
he's brilliant. I think Randy Orton is one of the best in the business. And then, obviously, that looks like it's the end of Matt Hardy on WWE TV.
I think his contract was up as of March the 1st, yeah. I believe, is the date. So
that looks like it's game over for Matt.
Well, I think we've all known it was game over since the beginning of those free the delete videos, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Mikey Buchanan's putting over Gary Cassidy, our very own Gary. He goes, the stuff he knows is so good and bring loads to the show, and the fact that Rab and Greedo are back on the show.
They'll be back next week.
Sorry,
we
Mikey.
Promise.
And he's actually said, buddy, nothing has been a good week until he hears this podcast and realises that rapping grades weren't on. So you'll probably be buddying me and Alex. Steve was burying the burial of the podcast. Burying the burial. So
yeah, because last week I buried the podcast for getting the Leighton Buzzard interview a week late after his heel turn.
Right, okay. The poor thing has went to the shits. But hey, I'm still listening. Thanks, Steve-o.
Oh, he was just burying the podcast.
He's burying the podcast, yeah. So burying the burial of the podcast. That means he's burying the fact that people were slagging off the podcast, so that means it's a positive.
Okay, I'll take that.
I'll take that. Right, Scott would like to put over Adam Cole, been a stellar NXT champ and a great faction leader for 2 years now. I think the Undisputed Era. Do you think they're losing the belts so they can get a main roster call-up? It's about time.
I don't know if they're going to put them on the roster.
Run over the roster like the Nexus did. That would be great.
Yeah, I'd be up for that. I'd be keen for it. And I don't think there's anything else they can do.
No,
in
I think they've done it all. I think they've done it all. They're brilliant. I just love the Undisputed Era. I love the entrance. I love Bobby Fish. I love it all.
I love the way you specifically fingled out Bobby there.
Yeah, Bobby's great.
Yeah, he's fantastic. He definitely has the best mustache in wrestling in the 21st century.
Bobby's great. He's buddying 24/7 championship. Daft, ugly title, worth nothing.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah. Chris Scullion, buddying whatever FUD decide to turn Shayna Baszler into Gangrel. There we go. There's another one on my side. Putting over Matt Hardy, bowing out in a cool way and showing he's still over, even though it looks like WWE were ready to horse him into a skip. So he is still over, and if he turns up in AEW, the pop's going to be massive.
They'll be
especially
huge.
If he does the Dark Order thing and all that. Anyway, Bionic Elmo put over Discovery Wrestling and roster for putting on an amazing show on Sunday, despite the storm causing travel issues and cancellation. A card with no matches announced beforehand, and a stellar main event between David Starr and Mikey Whiplash. That would have been a cracker, actually.
I haven't seen a Mikey Whiplash match in since Baron Mania, a year and a half ago, and
never puts
I miss Mikey Whiplash.
He's absolutely brilliant. And a big shout out to Discovery Wrestling. They just, we talk a lot on this show about ICW, PBW. Discovery Wrestling do great work through in the east of Scotland and Dundee, and the guys who put it on do a really good job, and they're drawing really good.
Just want to get on the show, John. Try absolutely, and get the booker of Discovery Wrestling.
Actually, Alan, who is the owner of Discovery Wrestling, actually is a political correspondent.
Oh, fair enough. There you go.
So we'll need to get in touch with Alan, see if we can get him on the show. Buddy, the folk online who are complaining about the Bella twins apparently being inducted into this year's Hall of Fame. Well, you're probably buddying me in that case, Bionic Elmore, because I've just said a wee bit about that. They've accomplished a lot more in the business than they get credit for. They've brought a lot of new eyes into the product through their reality shows. I can agree. Yeah, we sort of said that.
I think without Total Bellas, they wouldn't deserve it. Yeah. But I think transcendent was the word that Gary used, which unfortunately I kind of have to agree with.
Yeah, Martin Brown put over Drew's booking since winning the Royal Rumble. We've been very consistent in how they booked the big man, even though technically he should have been 24/7 channel champion. Agreeing with me, Martin. Thank you very much.
Oh, but you got put down earlier. That point was proven, I'm afraid, John.
Buddy, the whole Bray versus Goldberg, what is the point? They're just booking themselves into a corner. I totally agree with that.
Totally it's not agree. As if they've done that with The Fiend before or anything like that.
Nobody wants to see Goldberg versus Roman at WrestleMania, do we?
I don't really want to see Goldberg. The only match I want to see Goldberg in is when he gets retired by Matt Riddle. That's the only Goldberg match I want to watch.
Goldberg-Lesnar, there's money there, surely.
Oh, but they've kind of done that to death a little bit. And I think the Goldberg-Lesnar spoiled what could have been the big Chris Jericho WrestleMania main event.
True. And finally, Dan Francis Byrne. I'd also like to pre-bury Goldberg versus The Fiend and the whole Super Showdown event. I'm actually going... put over how good a heel MJS is over in AEW. He's such a despicable cockwombo, but he's good at it. Absolutely, MJF's my boy, and he's a complete and utter cockwombo.
I want to put him over for using the term cockwombo.
As we speak to you right now, you can get 20% off Wrestling Daft merch, only if you're listening on a Friday. So get behind them today. If you've just downloaded the podcast at 3:16, it's still Friday. You've got till midnight to get 20%
off. About just under 9 hours to get.
You've got under nine hours to get your t-shirt, which of course we've got a fantastic range up there on the Wrestling Daft merch shop. You can get an amazing I'm a Mark t-shirt, which is our new design. I'm a Take a Bump for You, an Ode to the Honky Tonk Man. We've got Margaret There's the Fiend, which is our best seller, by the way. Very big seller, the Margaret There's the Fiend.
That's the one I like the least, if I'm honest, John. I don't mean to be negative on the podcast.
And I'm marking out in the podcast. You can't see this, but I am wearing my Chips, Cheese and Donner Meat t-shirt. So,
class go through and through.
Absolutely class. So check them all out. They're really, really cool designs. You can check them out at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. Check them out. We'll stick out the links on our Facebook page and Wrestling Daft on Twitter. If you do buy a t-shirt, send a pic in. We'd love to see you in your Wrestling Daft t-shirt. Put it on our Twitter and we'll put you in the Hall of Fame. So get on board now. shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft and you can get 20% off up until midnight on Friday. And that's a brilliant way to spend your Valentine's Day. And I'm sure your girlfriend won't complain when you're on a wrestling t-shirt website buying one when you should be spending time with her.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time
for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
You just made the list!
It's Valentine's Day, as we said. Love's is in the air. Everywhere you look around. I won't start singing again.
Carry on, John. Get to the whole song.
So this week, we thought we'd look at some of the greatest romantic angles in the world of wrestling, because we all love a good wrestling love story. Whether it's a wedding gone wrong, a love triangle or a hand being born. We all enjoy the soap opera within professional wrestling when love hits the air. Now, this week I've handed over the list of Wrestling Daft to Big Alex, who's going to pick his top three love angle moments.
Before we start, I do feel the need to give an honourable shout out to one angle that I didn't feel I could include in the list of Wrestling Daft.
Right.
Shout out to Moppy. Old Perry Saturn and Moppy.
Yes! I mean, yes.
So my week this far has been watching back a lot of these terrible angles on YouTube, and I forgot how much skits there were of Perry Saturn and Moppy, and it's even the point when he chooses Moppy over Terry Runnels. It's delightful. It's great. But I didn't feel that a mop deserved to be on the list of Wrestling Daft, so it's an honourable mention. That's all it is.
Honourable mention. Who is at number three?
So number three... this one might get a little bit of complaints, and this is definitely the most misogynistic one on the list. But Vince McMahon and Trish Stratus.
I can't believe Mr. McMahon is groping. I can't believe he's groping, kissing Trish like that in front of his own wife. Mr. McMahon humiliating, embarrassing his own wife.
So I'm sure we all remember the story
it,
that involved a lot of Linda McMahon sitting in a wheelchair and a lot of Vince McMahon being incredibly pervy. But I'm going to justify this in two ways. One,
right.
it gave us so many of the Vince McMahon gifts.
Yes,
so much Vince McMahon
face.
It was unbelievably good.
It was so much Vince McMahon face.
Yes, and the payoff was great because Trish comes down in the middle of the big WrestleMania 17 match against Shane versus Vince and slaps the hell out of Vince and then continues to beat up Stephanie McMahon and chase her up the ramp. So the payoff was there, the angle
right.
was there.
Okay.
And... Yep. Gifable Vince. What more can you ask?
Gifable Vince. You've won me. You've won me. What is it, number two?
So number two is the most famous of all the wrestling love angles. Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth.
Elizabeth! Elizabeth! Will you marry me?
We don't have an answer. We don't have an answer. We don't.
He did it. He asked her about it, Miss Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We got us a win in our wing game.
Why, oh, why, oh, why is this not at number one?
I will get to that.
Right,
okay.
You tell me why this isn't number one, but obviously the most famous.
I mean, this
all,
one's obviously the most famous. You have the beautiful, the breakup of the Mega Powers, that great little, like, one of the first... kind of proper backstage WWE skits with Macho attacking Hogan in the hospital and Miss Elizabeth just crying at them and stuff. Through to the Mania match and then the big SummerSlam wedding. Is it SummerSlam 91 they had the wedding,
yeah,
I believe?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, which has got to be probably the most memorable wrestling wedding angle that we've ever had.
Miss Elizabeth, will you marry me? Oh, yeah. Bye. Gets you in the heart, doesn't it?
Gets you in the heart. It's a beautiful moment. It's a beautiful moment.
And so what's at number one?
So they say that wrestling is always best when it is in some way linked to real life. So number one is Edge, Matt Hardy, and Lita.
Fair play.
How does it feel to know that you will never, ever experience... this again? It probably feels pretty pathetic. You know, Matt, you are pathetic. And as far as I'm concerned, you can go to hell.
Go to hell? Oh, I'm going to hell. But I'm not going alone. I'm taking Edge with me.
The build-up to it was terrific. So you originally had Matt's big reaction that got Matt fired, and then they actually brought Matt back to the company to do the angle, which I think Edge came out the winner of the angle, which is rare to see, who was the obvious heel in that angle, to come out the victor. And I think it led, I mean, this wasn't a direct part of that feud, but obviously then at the end of this feud between Edge, Matt and Lita, you had Edge's solo run with Lita, and that included one of the greatest celebrations of all time, the live sex celebration in the middle of the ring. Now, watching this back, I realized that this was broadcast precisely on my 16th birthday on the 9th of January 2006, which I didn't realize until...
What were you doing on the 16th of January, young
wasn't
Alex?
Having a live sex celebration, no. Unfortunately, so...
Right, okay, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. It must have been so hard... for Matt, you know, obviously this is going on shoot, to actually then go in and work an angle. Well, this is all actually happening. That God, that
some of the promo work is just like Lita literally standing next to Matt in the most revealing outfit she can wear and just like being like, how does it feel that you're never getting a piece of this again? And it's the other thing I would say is from going back and watching all of these love angles is that, dear fucking God, WWE's been very misogynistic
up until the
women's revolution.
Thank God that's finished. It has been. You know, that turn, because Lita was the only credible, you know, at the time, the only credible worker wrestler in the company, and then they put her in all the kind of garb, and when she was doing the Team Extreme stuff, it was great, you know, getting put through tables by...
She was performing like a male member of the roster.
And then they obviously did that. So that's the one thing I would say it was kind of downtrods at, but it was a very massive... I can't even say the word. Pervy time! right, let's go to the listeners then, see what they're saying.
Is that?
Former WWE champion, El Russo Mal, says, Alicia Fox and Noam Dar, Foxy. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Totally. That's a great one. Westies, giving us some from each promotion. Here we go. ICW, DCT, and Viper. Stevie Boy and KOA Ray, of course.
The Filthy Generation.
We'll have to ask Davey about that when he's on later on. WWE, The Miz and Maryse.
See, I mean, again, this is another one that you could argue is actually up there because they've also transcended the wrestling world. True. And they're doing Miz and Mrs. and all that jazz.
Yeah, yeah. TNA, Maria Kanellis and Mike Bennett. And TNA, Grado and Christina.
The one thing I do remember from that angle was I think Joe Henry did a great song that was about access denied or something when she was trying to cheat on him.
Nice one. Mark Joss, China and Eddie, Mamazita.
I did have a look into that one, and there was a good little bit when like Eddie gets caught cheating in the shower and it's like playing on the Titantron while China's in a ring. You know,
it was good. It was very good. Chris loved Sean and Sherry from Ready 2. Sherry was fantastic in the role, from singing his theme to flirting with Rick Martel. Only downside, it was ended too soon to facilitate the Jannetty feud. Yeah, it was. It was very good. Scott McKenzie, obviously the Triple H test, Stephanie Angle. That worked out really well.
Yeah, it definitely did. And I think obviously the real life chemistry that came through afterwards, I'll admit that was number 4 on my list.
Oh, really?
I was toying between who deserved it, the father or the daughter, but I thought the payoff for Vince Triss was better.
Yeah. Chris Hamilton, Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth. It didn't seem fake or scripted. And would the Macho Man have been the wrestler he was without her? The answer's probably no.
Oh, not at all. And I think she inspired so much of his career and was just so linked to it the whole way through.
Yeah. Sandy, Edge and Vicky. How could you forget Edge and Vicky Guerrero? For me, was always an interesting dynamic between them and made for great TV and helped so much Edge's in his rivalry with like the Undertaker.
And it got Kurt Hawkins on TV.
It did. It did the Edgehead, of course it did. Amy Ryan, Alexa Bliss and Braun Strowman. That was from the mixed match tags a couple of years ago. That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I like
the little large thing. I thought it was quite well.
So whatever you're doing for Valentine's, just remember, put a bit of wrestling love angle into it. And if you are thinking about getting married, don't do it in the wrestling ring.
It never works. Unless you're Macho Man and listen to this.
Okay, it's now time for your chance to win a crate of beer 52 in our match of the week. Last week, I picked out a match of the week, which was Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero. It was championship versus mask match at Halloween Havoc in 1997. I asked you what colour was Rey's ring gear. It was pretty easy. It was purple. So thanks to TJ Valance, who got the right answer on Twitter, you will get a crate of beer. Right now, more chances to win beer. We're picking out another classic wrestling match for you to watch. All you have to do is answer a question on it. Everyone who gets the right answer goes into draw to win the beer. So you can check that match out by going to our Wrestling Daft Facebook or going to our Twitter at Wrestling Daft. We'll put the link up for that. But first of all, we need to have a question and a match. And Alex, you're taking it this week.
So with Grado and Rab back next week, this is probably my last ever chance to nominate a match for the Beer 52 Match of the Week.
Right.
So I need to nominate my favourite match of all time. So I'm going to go back to a certain pay-per-view called Armageddon in 2000 and the six-man Hell in a Cell main event between The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kurt Angle, The Undertaker, Rikishi and... I forgot who the sick man was.
Get on Google.
And Triple H. Fucking Triple H. Obviously Triple H. Legendary match. And I think if anyone's not seen it, watch it. Watch the promo work beforehand, especially The Rock's video where he imitates all five other competitors in the match. It's all up on YouTube. It's fantastic. But what I would like to know is who is it that escorts Vince McMahon from the arena?
Right, okay. We'll get that match up on our Facebook page. Who escorts Vince McMahon out of the arena? So to enter, get on their Facebook page, get on our Twitter, as I said. Winners have to be over 18 and stay in the UK. Now, you can get free beer. You don't have to enter the competition. We are going to sort you out with free beer thanks to Beer 52. All you need to do is go to beer52.com/wrestling and we'll sort out some free beers for £4.95. Now, for that £4.95, we are going to sort you out with 10 free beers. Yep, 10 free beers. Great carryout for the weekend. Normally, with these kind of offers, you'll get 8 beers, but as you're a Wrestling Daft fan, we're going to give you 10. So just go to beer52.com/wrestling right now. Get those 10 free beers. It's a monthly subscription service. The beer's always really good. In fact, we're sitting drinking some in the studio today as well. What have you got over there, Alex? What are you drinking?
I am drinking Vanilla Stout by Pappas.
Where's that from?
Pinnikin Brewery in Finland.
Yeah, you get beers from all over the world with Beer 52, so loads of stuff that you wouldn't normally see in the shops or in behind the bars. So get on to beer52.com/wrestling, get signed up, get your beers, and have one on us.
Listen to this. We're gonna party like it's 2010.
It's been a minute now, but the boys are back in town.
Introducing first.
I'm marking out.
The man who regards Prince Andrew as a bit of a VL. His dick is so big, it led to the creation of the hashtag Me12.
Did the song?
Yes! Schwarzenegger's other love child, my cousin, Davey Boy!
The Buckfast Barbarian, the Scottish Savage, the one-man threesome.
It's time to introduce to the show a former ICW Zero G champion. With Stevie Xavier, aka Stevie Boy, he formed probably Scotland's greatest ever tag team. He's one of the ICW originals. He's Schwarzenegger's other love child. It's Davey Boy stroke Davey Blaze. Welcome to the show,
yes.
Davey.
Cheers for having this, guys. Thanks very much.
Delighted to have you on, mate. Delighted to have you on.
It's a pleasure to be here. I've always wanted to kind of get on it and kind of speak my piece, as you will, ever since it's been kind of happening. So I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'm sorry you're stuck with me and Alex. We're kind of like the Vaughn. We're like the kind of Tom Phillips, and as opposed to the Jim Ross and Jerry King that are rapping.
We're like
the NWO Wolfpack or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, really, really shite. But thanks for coming on, and it's great to have you on. Now, I'm going to start off at the start of your wrestling career, right? Mm-hmm. Because I read this online and I thought, that is absolutely amazing. Is it true you became a wrestler after being in a coma for 2 weeks?
It is, aye.
Right, so first of all,
how did
you get into the coma?
It's hard to explain. It was not like a fully induced like coma.
Right.
It was just like, kind of, like I'd like, kind of, Let my head just lost feeling it, like I hit and I let the side of my head hockey stick.
Jeez.
And it was just mental, like it was crazy. And I was in hospital in Lockie when I was just kind of waking up, and like my whole family were like, well, my mum, my dad, and my brother Martin were like just sitting in the bed, and I was like, where am I? Like, kind of, what's happening here? And it was like the only thing that I could, like my mum was saying to me that. That I was asking for, I was asking a nurse for a bowl of Frosties constantly. And she was like, she kept telling you no because she kept running out and she had to feed everybody else. I was like, oh, fuck it. But aye, so that's kind of like where it led for, like, because it was like, in the scheme that I grew up in, like, everybody knew I wanted to be a wrestler and stuff like that. And they're basically kind of bullying, you know, and stuff.
Right.
So it was.
So like, oh, check out the wee geeky boy. He wants to be a wrestler. No, wrestling's like, fake. Wrestling's fake.
Because I used to go, I want to be a WWE wrestler. And they would go, aye, fucking, you're never going to be a WWE wrestler. And like, they were just like picking on us and stuff like that. And then fucking boom, it just like kind of happened. Do you know what I mean? So it's just like one of the things. It's like, I want to just forget about it. Do you know what I mean? Fucking. But I basically like kind of, like everything that I've done, like kind of up to now, is like kind of, hey, by the way, fuck yous.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I guess you get that coma, it's kind of like, I guess it's a bit of a kind of, you know, that kind of puts life into perspective at that point. You go, fuck it, you know what, I'm going to go and follow my dreams and do what I want to do.
Exactly. It was like, don't get me wrong, at first like, I was like kind of, I was a bit taken back by it. I was like kind of, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it was like, it wasn't until I was like 15, because when I was like 12-year-old, I was in the gym. So it was like, Arnold Schwarzenegger was he's like my idol. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's like a god to me, man, and fucking.
That's because he's a fucking god.
I was in the gym since I was 12, and like just kind of working on my physique and following everything that this guy done. And from there, it was like, kind of like, his like kind of 6 rules to success and believing in yourself and all that, and I was like, wow, I was like, this guy, man. And when I was 15, I was bringing a new year, 2009, and I was like, we just moved into like a brand new house in Calfkin, and I was sitting on a laptop and I took my I say to my mum and my dad, I went, I'm going to go and be a professional wrestler. And I was looking up schools in Glasgow. Mm-hmm. And because Catherine's kind of next to East Kilbride, this school in East Kilbride did come up. It was called the Scottish Professional Wrestling Academy.
Now, is this the one, I mean, in this programme, this East Kilbride post office thing, were you involved with that? Because Rudo went through there, Grado went through there, Wolfgang went through there.
So it was like, that post office one, that was like kind of years before my time. That had got like shut down. But the guy, one of the guys that was in their class, Rudo and stuff like that, was Kid Fight. And that was a guy that taught me how to wrestle.
Right.
So it was so it was like Kid Fight, he still owns it to this day. Yeah. He always will. But it was called SPWA back then. It's now called the PWA Academy under Kid Fight's wrestling promotion, which is Premier British Wrestling.
There's loads of boys have come through that in the last 10 years or so.
The people that have come through that school alone is like me, Kenny Williams, Steve Xavier, Andy Wild, Noam Dar, Kelly Ray. There's younger people coming through now, like you've got Ellie King Sharp, you've got Krieger, you've got people like Daz Black, John Trent and stuff like that.
It's very much a who's who of ICW, isn't it?
They're all doing very well. It's and there's a lot of like the young boys like Daz Black, John Trent, we Mikey the Wanderer and stuff like that. All these young boys that are coming through now, they're very very lit, hot prospects, if you will. Yeah. They're amazing, and they're already taking off now. But they're still kind of at a young kind of stage in their career, and they're doing so well, and they're going to shock a lot of people, I think, when they actually break through.
Everyone's been like, certainly we've had Daz on this show, and everyone that's come in and said, that boy is going to go.
The boy is fucking money, man. Wait till like he's maybe, I don't know, maybe. I'd say maybe 5, 6, 7 years in.
He's still at school.
He's still at school. He's a hanky for work as well. He's a PT. He's got incredible shape.
Yeah.
So how old is he? Only like 17?
He's 17, 18. Aye. Uh-huh. But I've got very, very high hopes. Like, I'll put money on him that he's going to go to WWE.
Yeah.
Because he's like a sponge, man. He just soaks everything in.
Take one of those bets that you go to the bookies and say, this guy's going to be WWE champion in years to come.
Black, Royal Rumble winner. Here we go.
So you go through the train with Kid Fight. When is it that you go out into the ring, and now do you do that as a solo performer, or do you do that as part of a tag team?
I would say more or less both,
right.
But again, it all depends on your ability and the way you wrestle in the ring. Like with me, because I obviously struggled with like my memory because of my head and stuff like that, I did a few single matches when I was a trainee. But my strong point at this time was in the tag stuff.
Right.
So it's like, and it has all, you do get boys like Daz Black or Mikey the Wanderer or John Trenton that are all fantastic singles wrestlers, but most of the time they'll have experienced people on the show to kind of bring the show up as well. And like, obviously sometimes the pros will be in with the trainees to bring them up. So it's like, you've already got spots in the show that are already taken by people that are already better. So to kind of get everybody in on the show, it's like they'll come up with like 8-man tag matches like a scramble match for some reason, do you know what I mean? And then so everybody's on the show, so everybody can learn and process faster.
So you go into sort of tag team, you know, like you say, when do you who do you partner with the first initially? When do you get together with Stevie?
I'm going to be really upset if it's not Stevie, your first partner here, I think.
My first partner originally, it wasn't Stevie Xavier. It was a guy called Chris, a boy called Chris Rampage. And we came through the same class under Kid Fight. We were the BCW Tag Team Champions, the PBW Tag Team Champions. And something happened where it was like, he went through, there was like, this mad thing that happened. At this point, when this happened with him, me and him are still tagging. But at this point, me and Stevie were already tagging as the Bucky Boys in ICW. So this boy Chris Rampage, I was tagging me that this night it kind of ended, that was it, done, right? It was like we were the tag champs for PBW and something happened, I can't remember exactly what it was, but something happened and he just fucking biffed it. And basically we were the tag champs on Maximum Impact, Kid Fight's biggest show of the year. We were the tag champs, so we had to come out, obviously, defend the titles. That never happened because he didn't turn up to a show. He turned his phone off, like, there was no getting in contact with him. And he contacted one of the trainees. He contacted him and says, I've left the PBW tag belt outside your closed door, so if you can go down and get it. Right? And never fucking contacted anybody, never contacted me. So I'm at the show, and I'm like, mate, leave a message with him, like, where are you? Where are you? No answer. So I had to then get a young boy to come in and tag with me, right? That he done very well, but it was like.
But I mean, it just
kind of ruins, like, the dynamic, yeah, doesn't, yeah, yeah, it, as well?
So instead of me coming out and defending the titles they then get vacated.
Of course they do.
And I was fucking raging. I was like, what sort of champion is that? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, aye, you've just made me look like an absolute dick. So
are you guilty by association in that situation?
Aye, so that was the kind of end it there. But aye, but me and Stevie, man, like, me and Stevie.
Yeah, I mean, how did you and Stevie then get together then? I mean, because obviously I'm guessing Dallas has come to you and said, I've got this great gimmick idea. Now, were you at that point put together, were you and Stevie put together, or was it a case of, you know what, I want to work with Stevie, Stevie wants to work with you? How did that all come about?
It was like, it's a funny story, right? Because at this point when it happened, I was doing security for ICW, this is how long ago this was, right? And so was Stevie. So we were wee guys.
Was that
guys
down at Maryhill?
Maryhill, yeah, Maryhill, yeah. Right? So we were wee guys, right, doing security. And we always get told, and it's a bit of trying to pass on to, like, the kind of younger generation, we always get told to bring our wrestling gear to shows in case anything happens. Aye. So me and Stevie were the ones that were always bringing our stuff, and fucking, so was Noam and Andy and stuff like that. And I believe Noam and Andy were already on this show that this kind of happened. Me and Stevie were doing security, and Dallas comes up to us and he goes, Stevie, listen, I've got this kind of idea that I've always wanted, like, in my head. I've got this idea in my head that I've always wanted a tag team today, sorry. And he goes, it's called the Bucky Boys. And he goes, I just can't find the right people to do it. So then it was like the next show, somebody had to be a jobber for Adam Shame. And I think the guy that Adam Shame was meant to be, the actual jobber that was meant to be doing the job to Adam Shame, never turned up. So then Stevie kind of, like, grabbed the reins and went, I'll do it.
Just turning into a history of just people who didn't turn up to shows and Davey taking advantage.
Right, and it was like, Stevie then took the opportunity and he asked Dallas and Dallas gave it to him. And that was like kind of Stevie cementing his kind of fit as the first Bucky Boy, right? So then I have my fucking, my debut match, Maryhill Community Hall, way my trainer Kid Fight. And I'm so fired up, I'm like, fucking yes, here we go. Clothesline, bang, bang, bang. Like, damn, fucking just smacked it at the park, right? Having an absolute ball. And then Dallas comes up to me and he's like, ah, mate, brilliant. He's like, ah, this is Stevie. He's like, ah, I've wrestled him and all that, blah, blah, blah. And he's went, aye, right. He's been used to, usually the Bucky Boys, right? And we didn't know what that meant. Like, obviously, it's like when you see in comedy movies, it's like, when he put, like, a mad fucking duo team together, it's like, ha, 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 ha,
music players, the angels fly.
The fucking doves are coming up behind us and all that, right? But it was like, me and Stevie are just standing there like that, I make cheers. Right? And it was like,
were you stoked about the gimmick when you first got it, or were you kind of slightly apprehensive?
Well, this is a funny bit, right? So, obviously, the first, we had to get, like, sneaked into venues to wrestle. So it was like all nightclubs that ICW ran, right? Yeah. So we had to get wild in the ring. Like, somebody would be keeping the edgy for me and Stevie to come into the venue and get changed. But because I didn't quite understand the gimmick of the Bucky Boys, we just had to wear tracky bottoms. I had my actual wrestling gear, like my biker shorts, underneath my tracky bottoms. And this was the first show that we ever done. It was in the Apollo. And Stevie was ready to do the hot tag tease. Instead of me just coming in for the hot tag straight away, he's giving a hot tag and I've just started taking down my tracky bombs. And I'm in these black and red biker shorts and I'm coming in Jackie Polo. And Vinnie Mac just like pure like game clotheslines it and stuff like that. And Dallas went after the match, he's like, mate, listen, the match is good, not mate, right? He's like, ah, but I know your heart's in it and all that. He's like, ah, but don't ever wear the fucking biker shorts ever again. I was like, alright mate, cool, sorry. He's like, you're the Bucky Boys, mate. He's like, love it.
Yeah.
And then ever since then, we just boom.
So, I mean, how much did Dallas have the complete gimmick? Was Dallas in with the right, so you're going to come in with, you know, the tracksuits on, or is that something that you and Stevie developed together?
Dallas gave us the gimmick, right? And he says, I want you to run me it. So the only thing that Dallas gave us along with the gimmick was the Slasher Hats. Because he used to have a show up in the Savoy Centre that did Slasher Hats. So he had tons of Slasher Hats and he gave us the Slasher Hats, right? So me and Stevie, we were like, there'll be points where it was like, I was wearing a white tracky bottoms, he was wearing black ones. Or I'd be wearing like Ferrari tracky bottoms, he'd be wearing white ones. And then all of a sudden, like, I was just talking to him one day backstage and I went, mate, why don't we just go for like the red Adidas joggy bottoms with the white stripes on them? I says, and that can be our colours.
Yeah, yeah.
And he went, aye, mate, aye. And boom, that was us. It was like, that was it. The minute we stuck the fucking tracky bottoms on, it was like, boom, the Bucky Boys.
Yeah.
Aye. And that was when it was like, that was when the music started playing, the doors were like flying behind us and stuff like that. So, right, that was when the whole kind of thing got put together. And then we came up with the finisher, which was the 3D.
Yeah.
So when did Wee Man get thrown in? Again, was that from Dallas or was that you guys?
Well, that was through Dallas as well. there was a show that the Wee Man had done in the Maryhill Community Halls. And he was going on to sing that tune that made him famous.
I was like,
your man singing it back, right? So he's came on it, right? But the guy what we all learned that day was Neil, the wee man, didn't actually sing it. It was somebody else. He got booked to come in to sing that song and he didn't know a fucking word to it, right? But we all did. So we were all at backstage. I was like, your man singing it back, your guy, like, yes, right? He's on the stage, just going along with it. And Dallas went, mate, don't worry, I've got something for you. You can be the manager for the Bucky Boys. And it was like, he says, it's like a team of young and edge. It's David Blaze and Stevie Xavier. He says, they're going to do well and all that, and he's going to go far. I want you to be the manager. And then, boom, he came out in the red tracky bottoms, the red Adidas tracky bottoms and that. And that was us, the whole package, boom.
I know. Were you quite good at cutting a promo? Or do you think Dallas has went, we need someone to be a mouthpiece for Stevie and Davey?
Mate, I was shite at cutting promos.
Right,
man. So Stevie was at that point as well, we both were. But Stevie started gradually getting better than where it was like, I was just Brock Lesnar, man. I was like,
Are you quite happy that we, man? What was he like?
Aye, don't get me wrong. Nowadays, I can talk in a promo if they trust me, right?
And do they ever trust you?
No, they don't. So that's how the wee man just kind of grabs the microphone and he just kind of sees his snizzle.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
That's it, man. Aye.
Whatever happened to Lambrini?
I think she just gets sacked, mate. I think she was like, I think she got caught sitting on the brew or something like that. And she had to leave.
So talk us through, like, when you're in the ring, the two of you, did the chemistry come naturally when you're working as a tag, or is that something that you and Stevie had to go away and work on?
It did come naturally first, because me and Stevie were all, like, before the Bucky Boys, like, me and Stevie were always working with each other in single matches or, like, freebie matches and stuff like that. So the chemistry of just working against each other, that comes into the tag team alone. So, and all you need to do as well, once you use our, like, I'm not saying it, we knew what finishers to kind of hit and we didn't need bother. Obviously, we came up with, like, finishers today and, like, tag team and signature moves today. But the hardest part of tag team wrestling is when you're in a tag team and it's amazing, the Bayfies are great. It's when you're coming up against another team, it's like you don't know how good they are, or like they could be terrible, they could be good, right? But if you're like a good tag team and everybody knows you as a good tag team and they're behind you and stuff like that, what makes you an all-round better professional wrestler and a showman and entertainer is if you as a tag team can make another tag team who are shite look on your fucking level. then that's when you kind of know it yourself, like, boom, that's the chemistry, that's what chemistry is, that's what makes us good, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And, like, don't get me wrong, there has been a couple of times where it was like, oh, well, oh, I bet there was, like, Maesterum, but, like, STI, Simonine Death Squad, the Coffee Brothers, Fight Club, trying to think, there was, like, a few other teams as well, and we all fucking go on pure great. Jailed, do you know what I mean?
It was quite a tag team roster as well. No, quite a tag team roster.
Absolutely. So who decides? I'm guessing it's quite obvious who gets the hot tag, because you're always the hot tag. Was that just because Stevie was smaller and that was pretty much
it? You have Brock Lesnar come and tank everyone, essentially.
Aye, it was like, because, like, obviously I had the size. Poor Stevie, he was like,
Getting the shit kicked to him half the time.
It was always like taking a beating, and then there'd be times when it was like, I go at Stevie, like, they try and switch it up, and I'd go at Stevie, right, I'll take a beating, and then you come in and make a hot tag, and it worked. But then you had people coming up to you going, like, ah, what the fuck was that all about? Davey, why are you getting battered? And I was like, ah, leave Stevie alone, please. Like, just leave Stevie alone.
Brilliant. I do love the fact you love the character, and obviously you knocked the Bucky before you went in for the ring as well.
And that was definitely real fucking Bucky.
That's fucking definitely real. We were on a tour one time, and it was... It was when the Buckies were tagging on it, and we were coming out, and I was like, kind of, like, in between the barriers and the ring, and this fan shouting at me, he's like, ah, that's no real Bucky, that's no real. And I went, mate, I was like, do you want some? And he's went, aye. And I've just went right at his face, man. He's like, my eyes. I was like, aye, it's not fucking my being a new, is it?
So, I mean, obviously, tag teams inevitably always come to an end, and there's always the turn.
Aye.
I mean, you were out injured, and then you came back, didn't you? And then, how did that feel? You know, was that really quite a hard thing to take when you broke up?
No, it was.
I was quite happy to go out and do your own stuff.
See, the thing was, it was we knew that we had a lot more in the tank. We still do, even to this day, right?
Yeah.
But we also knew that at this point we were with each other for 5.5 years, and we knew that we weren't stale. We're still no stale the new, but we knew that we weren't stale back then, and we knew that if we were to do a heel turn, one, the fans would think it was going to be me that would heel turn, because obviously the size, right?
Yeah.
But the second reason, they wouldn't know when it would happen. They think the heel turn would happen on a big show. So what we done was, we says to Dallas, it was when Stevie won the Zero G, it was a Flawless Victory Tour, and Stevie won the Zero G title in London the night before, and we finished off the last night of the Flawless Victory Tour in the garage, right? And so on after the show in London, me and Stevie off says to Dallas, listen, we've got an idea, we want to, like, kind of hit towards you. And he goes, what is it? And we go, we want to split up. And he just looks at us.
McAllis is thinking about the merch, right? Yeah, Dallas is thinking about the merch, because you guys must have shifted a bit of merch.
We did, right? Aye. So Dallas is like, just fucking looking at us. And he's went, what? And we went, we want to split up, but listen to us, it's a good idea. And he's went, it better be a fucking good idea. And he went, because I'm out of here listening. So Stevie went, they're going to think that Blaze is going to be the one to turn on me, but what if we fucking just mind fuck them? And I turn on Davey tomorrow night at Flores Victory, because we were doing a handicap match, me and Stevie against Wolfgang, right? Yeah. And Dallas went, right, keep going. And then Kaylee comes back, because Kaylee was away at this point. So Kaylee comes back. She goes for the rano on me. She's masked. She does a rano on me. Boom, I take the bump. And then I get up. She kicks me right in the stains. I'm on fucking both knees. Stevie runs into the ring. She powders. She reveals that, boom, NEK, the fucking go fuck yourself t-shirt. Everybody's losing their shit, man, right? Like, and I'm on my knees, and I'm going, here we fucking go, right? I am, get goosebumps, man. And the next minute, Dallas went like, no, Stevie went like to Dallas. He went, and then the next minute, he says, I grabbed Davey, boom. And he says, I'll just fucking give him the Canadian Destroyer. right? And Dallas went, just cuddled his man. They went, "Yous are my boys, yous are so grown up." And so the next night, boom, it happens. Keely's masked. Keely Ray's masked. She does the fucking run on me. I got up. She boots me in the stands. I collapse. I'm on my knees. Stevie comes in. Fucking boom. She reveals herself, part of the NAK. Then Stevie grabs me. And I mean, the fans that I must have left that night in the garage were like a fucking stroke or something, man, because this was mental. If you watch it back in the footage, yeah, you see fans up the back like that, like shaking, man. You think I got to a heart attack? And then boom, I take this fucking dynamite Canadian destroyer. I'm just lying there, and it's like they all come into the ring, and it's just they're all just under the tapis. And it was just that moment. I just like, holy fuck! Like, yeah, the Bucky Boys have just split up, man. Like, what? And then that's what kind of led us into the, like, me coming up with like the hit list. Granted, if you'd been more, taking them out one by one, like kind of Quentin Tarantino style, like Kill Bill. That was like the whole gimmick behind that. And then boom, the big fucking payoff match was me, Stevie, at the sold out 4,000 capacity of the Fear and Love and SCCC show.
And you won the Zero G Championship.
I won the Zero G Championship.
I mean, it's a great build. I mean, as far as when tag teams split up, that was just, I mean, and that's what you expect in a tag team spot. You expect that shock value, you know. And that,
exactly. You know, you'd be surprised that ICW's biggest tag team got splitting up on I wouldn't say a snap decision, but 2 days before
So you go from working, how difficult was it to make the transition from tagging back into a solo wrestler in ICW? Because presumably you were working solo like PBW and things like that, but how difficult was that transition in an ICW arena?
It wasn't hard as what most people would think. It's more or less. You just need to kind of, it's like a lot of people, because used to doing more single stuff at the same time, still tagging me, Stevie, like up and down the UK, even out in Europe. So it was like, it didn't really bother me because I knew how to brand myself as a singles wrestler. Like, I had my singles moves that I would do and sequences that I would do, so it was like, it was easy. But I think if you're just a natural tag wrestler and then you just make a swap from tag into singles and you don't have any spots or for whatever singles wrestler would do, then you're up shit street, do you know what I mean? Because it's like, then you start, your mind goes 100 mile an hour. Where it was me, I was just Davey Blaze, I was just Davey Boy, so it was into the single stuff. The B-Man was still with me, and we made it more comedy kind of stuff as well, do you know what I mean? So it was like, it played off fantastically.
So you fell out of ICW for a wee while, didn't you?
Aye.
We won't go into the details of why that happened.
It was basically, it was just like, just personal reasons. I was just in a dark place, I was just fucking miserable, I was doing... I was drinking a lot and I was just like no going to the gym the way I used to be. Yeah. And do you know what I mean? I just like completely, like, my head was just right up my arse. Cut a long story short, I was just like kind of boom, a big fucking situation happened and I had to leave, and that was it.
So what was the switch then that kind of got you out of, you know, the place you were at? And then what was that kind of moment when you went, right, I need to get my head screwed on and I had to get back in the gym and do whatever? When did that moment happen?
Well, it was like, obviously when that situation happened, like I've got three nephews. Right now, currently, I've got a niece or a nephew on the way. There was just one day that I was just looking at myself, man, and I just went, I was just like looking at old memories and stuff like that, and I just went, fuck, like, for where I was and what I've done, like, and I surely fucking just let it slip, man. Do you know what I mean? Like, big time. And then I was like, my nephews were staying here one night, and I was just like playing the PlayStation and stuff like that, like, just having a laugh. And then I went to my bed, I woke up the next day, and I went, right, finger at the arse. I mean, I'm an uncle, man. Like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I don't want for them to grow up and then look at old photos of me or footage of me and go, fuck, man, my uncle David's like a fucking, he was this and he knew he's that, like, what the fuck, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I was like, nah, I'm going to set as like a better example, I'm going to fix things personally, and I'm going to go and apologise for all my fucking stuff professionally and everything else, And I did, and then boom, fucking, I was back at feeling loving.
I mean, how did that feel? I mean, because you obviously came out and did the save for our good pal Grado.
Aye, big Grado.
I know, he'd be thanking you if he was here. How did that moment feel, you know, when you've been through all this, and then you've come out the cut, and, you know, Rab and Grado spoke about it, because they were obviously both working the show, and said it was unbelievable. What that reaction that you got, how did that feel personally?
It was fucking insane. It still sticks with me to this very day. I think it always will to the end of my days. Seriously, it was like I was holding back the tears so much. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was just like a pure overwhelming joyness to be back. Back
with your family, isn't it?
Back with my family, back with the fans, where I'm meant to be, man. Do you know what I mean? And it was just
the right time to return in the right place as well.
It was just mental, man. It was crazy because when Dallas phoned me, Dallas phoned me and told me this on my 26th birthday last year. So October 8th, I get the phone call and he's like, "Mate, you're going to be coming back." And I went, I thought it was maybe the square goal this year. So I'm like, the square goal this year, because at this point I was in the gym beasting it, fucking bang, right?
I've seen your Twitter, baby. You're beasting it, all right. Jesus.
Nah. Dallas went, "No, you're going to be coming back at Feeling Loving this year." And I was like, "No." He's like, he's like that, mate. He's like, "We've all spoke over it. Hey, you're going to be meeting Save on Grado and stuff like that." And I went, "Right, cool." I went, "Don't tell any of the boys that I'm coming back. And don't even put it online." He's like, "No, I know one." He says, "I know we weren't going to put it online." And he's like, "But you should about KFM and the boys." And I went, "Aye, because I want the boys to have a good pop and all." And there's a video backstage. So we done this fucking thing video, right? It was like the video that plays when Grado was getting a beating.
Yeah.
So I said to Dallas, I went, "I want it to kind of dark and all that." I says, because it my spear in the ICW is called the Sparrowhawk. I says, "I want this video to play." And I went, "I want a Sparrowhawk to fly on it." I says, "Air the mountains and all that and air the highlands." And I says, "I want it to go into the city centre at daytime and then nighttime." And says that it's going to come down like a fucking ramp or a hill, and I'm going to be standing kind of in the distance, and then it's going to go here we and then here we fucking go, and then the camera guy's going to come right into me, I'm going to turn around, and there's my big fucking chin, man, just looking down the camera lens.
Yeah.
And Dallas and Scott Reed, man, were fucking lit. We were all covered in goosebumps, man. We're like, "This is going to be amazing. Yeah. This is going to be amazing." And then...
Because Grado didn't even know this was happening either, did he? Because he told the story on the podcast that he was sitting in the ring, and then he just had this big smile on him. Like, he's obviously trying to sell getting beaten, but he said he couldn't hold back this big smile when
apparently, because when I've said to Dallas, the KFA were the boys, Grado didn't even know this.
Yeah. I think he knew someone was coming out to save him, but he just didn't know fucking who it was.
I think he knew somebody was coming out to save him, but he didn't know who, right? So when I've walked backstage, all the boys are like, "You fucking down here?" And I went, I'm on a show tonight. And I went, "You're very good." I went, "I'm on a show tonight." I went, "I'm making the saving Grado." Still didn't believe me. And then the next minute, because I didn't see Grado at this point, I think I just said hello to him and that was it. But there was no conversation of what you doing here, blah, blah, blah. But apparently there's footage of Grado getting an absolute fucking down. He's selling, right? And boom, that happens. The rave music plays and everybody's losing their shit. There's a video backstage and me going half my nut behind the curtain, right? And then you just see all the local room behind me going half their nut. But apparently there's footage of Grado, when this happens, the rave music plays and Grado goes like that into the camera. "Here we fucking go."
I wouldn't put it past him. So made the comeback, and then last month it's full circle, you and Stevie back together at the garage.
Aye.
How did that feel, just being you and Stevie being back together with a wee man coming out? Obviously the music's changed slightly, but how did that feel then, going from Feeling Loving into that?
It was even mentaler.
Yeah, Stevie in the meantime has been, won the big belt and, I must have been...
Won and lost the big belt.
Yeah,
it's pure nostalgia talk, right? But I was backstage and I'm putting on the red fucking, the red Adidas shorts.
Please tell me they're the same ones you used to use, or did you have to go and buy new ones?
They're the same ones.
Yeah,
they're the same ones.
David, the way you bulked up, there's no chance.
they're elastic. It's fine.
They are the same ones. Trust me, right? Because they're for joggy bottoms, so you just I've just cut the bottom of them, so they're all baggy, right? But they're the same ones, right? And I'm putting on the fucking, it was the shorts that got me, right? And then Slasher Hat goes on. I'm looking at Wolfgang and I'm like, I can't believe I'm fucking wearing this. And like, do you know what I mean? Like, it just feels mental. Like, it feels crazy. And then I'm looking at Stevie. Stevie's in his gear. And I'm like, this is weird, man. Like, this is, it was just goosebumps all the way.
Yeah.
And then boom, the music plays. I go out first. Stevie comes out. The place is just fucking losing it, right? And then the wee man comes out, he gets a big massive pop.
Yeah, he did.
And then it was like, for there, boom, the comedy nostalgia fucking starts. He's fucking ripping the fuck out of people. And I was just constantly smiling. Like, I was just, I was like, yes, this is happening, yes.
It does kind of feel like the young team were inadvertently built to be the Bucky Boys' greatest enemy, sort of, isn't it?
The line is like, wee man goes, we've even got cosplayers. Exactly. Brilliant.
It was, what was the line he says about getting diddy rides off your cousin? He says, are you going to be that guy after Jace because you also get diddy rides after your cousin? It's fucking great.
That must be one of the hardest parts of the Bucky Boy gimmick, is trying to hold your face straight while wee man's doing the entrance.
But that's the thing, like, don't get me wrong, at some points in the past, like when we're in serious storylines, and it's a big payoff match, we're meant to be serious. He's just got this patter, man. Aye. There's points on me, Steve, you're standing there, I'm meant to look pure serious, we need to go like that.
So is that, are we going to see some more of you boys together, or is it just a one off?
No, you're going to see us, man. Like, we're back together, but we've still got our own things that we need to do. But listen, we're family never leaves each other. Bucky's thicker than blood, so just fucking, I think everybody should just be aware that the Bucky Boys are back.
Until the next time you turn
Until the next time we need to fuck somebody up.
Fear and loathing next year. Let's get Davey and Stevie booked in for that. Listen, thanks for coming in, Davey. Really appreciate your time. Before you go, I need to ask you, though. Take me out.
Ah, fucking you. It's going to take me out. Fucking you.
Right, let's...
I didn't know this. He did send me the video earlier. Well played.
I'm guessing a lot of people now know that you were on Take Me Out.
I'm going to be honest with you, right? See, because I've been doing podcasts recently, right? So this is like my third one that I've done recently since I've came back, right?
This is the best one as well.
This course, this is the best one. This is wrestling.
He says that every time.
Every time, just different names.
that salmon, pink salmon suit.
Mate, they were
talk us through that.
They were not even my clothes.
Did they dress you before you go out and all these things?
Mate, I was fear to move. I was fear to move in the clothes. They weren't even mine. they were somebody else's clothes. This is honestly what happened, right? So through the email, they were talking to me and stuff like that, and we were sorting out things for the VT, right?
Because Kid Fight did cut a bit on the VT and stuff.
He wanted to fucking slag me off. And
he was like, he was a lovely guy, all that sort of stuff.
But it was funny, right? Because on the day, right, it was hilarious, right? I don't know if Dallas has fucking spoke to you about this, but they go like that to me, right? Because I made up so many lies. Right, saying that I could do bush topery, breakdancing, and I used to do graffiti with Banksy. Right,
I'm
fucking raging. I'm like, I'm pure shite at this. So I had to draw a laugh out. Right, a 5-year-old could have done better, mate. And I fucked up the bush topery and all, man. It was like 8 a.m. They had me out in my back garden. With these two bushes for like B&Q, and they were going like to me, right? We start like 3, 2, 1, action. Mate, they had this big spotlight on his man. I'm in my mom's dressing room at the back, fucking me a pair of shears. The neighbours are out and all. The neighbours are like, go, Davey, go. I'm like, what I get to fuck, man? Like, he's all putting me off. They're like, cut, they're like, David, you can't swear. Like, you need to go. I'm like, I've got to move, man. Like, so the neighbours are all away, man. They're at the cups of tea, you know, that night. Oh, what a laugh I gave them. So I've started, like, they told me to, like, cut this bush into, like, a love hat. And I must have cut it into, like, a fucking pair of boys or something like that, man. It was just hideous. and they turned me and told me for coming down to the show to bring like kind of four items of clothing, four different kind of styles, right? I've tried everything on for them. They're like, no, that's going to clash on telly. And I'm like, no, it's not going to clash on your telly because I've already sent you the pictures and you confirmed it. That was fine. And I'm not even kidding you on that there was a boy stunning to my left hand side of me that was a lot smaller than me, wearing the fucking pink salmon blazer, the black skinny jeans, and the white and grey polo t-shirt. The only thing that I had on that was mine was my fucking shoes and my socks and my boxers, right?
So what was it, like one of the like the guys interviewing you to set the thing up's clothes or something like that?
No, it was one of the boys that was not meant to be on to get chucked off the show. So because he wasn't on the show, I had to wear his clothes. So I went, guys, I can't fit into his clothes. And they went, you're wearing them or you're not going on the show. And I went, mate, need your clothes. Honestly, mate, it was like, Arnold Schwarzenegger, I need your boots, your clothes, your motorcycle, right? I was like, geezer fucking clothes, mate, I'm going on this. So I'm in the toilet, I put this guy's clothes on, man. And I'm literally, mate, I could hear the fucking stitching in his jacket burst, right? And I'm on this lift, and the guy's like at me. I'm like, this guy, man, I'm like, mate, I think I'm going to take a heart attack. He's like, no, you're fine, mate. And I could just hear Paddy going, single man, reveal yourself. So it's Run DMC and Aerosmith, Walk This Way, it starts playing, right? The lift starts going down, but I'm trying to hold on to the walls. I'm trying to hold on to the wall, man. I'm like, I'm no fucking going down. And the guy's like, mate, just dance. So I've just started like fucking dancing like fucking John Travolta in my third minute of Philip Fiction, mate. And fucking the lift goes down, man. And I go to get out the lift and swing my right arm up like that to go, come on. And I just hear, like that, man, I've just ripped this cunt's jacket. So that's how when you see me like on the YouTube episode, I'm just stunning. Like with my arms crossed in front of me because of the stitching is all popping out of the back.
Brilliant.
I was like, fuck, man, I've just ripped this guy's jacket.
Well, we'll definitely not be putting up that on our Wrestling Daft Facebook page. We will not do that at all. Not be doing that.
It's not as if you shared videos of Grado dancing around in a hotel room to various wrestlers' entrances or anything.
Listen, David, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for coming in.
No worries. Thanks for having me, guys.
No worries. Thank you very much. So that's it. I think this should be our last one, Alex. The big man.
Well, here's hoping. I'm sure Twitter will be very happy about that.
I'm pretty sure who was it? Steve O on Twitter and all this people that were calling us posh Jason. They'll be delighted to hear this. Rab and Grado back next week.
Hit that countdown.
So, Rab and Grado back next week, hopefully on this show. Really looking forward to having them back in the studio and hearing about Grado's hoop.
Oh, I'm sure Grado is going to tell you all about his most recent colonoscopy as well.
Yeah, plus we've got to find out he ended up meeting Carl Anderson in Vegas. We've got to get that story out of him. But yeah, thanks very much for listening over the last couple of weeks and sticking with us. Thanks very much to Davey Boy for coming in. It was really good chatting with him. Before we go, we've got to award a listener of the week. We've got to put the strap on someone this week. And I have to say,
I think there's only one man for the job this week, John. I think he's continuing your favourite segment.
Yeah, I've got to say thank you, Alistair Dunlop, who humours me by sending wrestlers meet bands every week. It always puts a smile on my face. So Alistair Dunlop, you are our Wrestling Daft champion this week. Congratulations, sir. That's it for Wrestling Daft for another week. Episode 15. Rab and Grado back next week. Remember, get onto Apple, rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you for having us, guys.
Peace out.
Cheers.
It's yourself.
This is 4 Network.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.